Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome to Church at Home. Welcome to our small congregation here. I'm so happy to see you guys. I love having you here with me. And you guys all look great. Everyone at home, look how great these guys look here. And it's just good to be together. So I hope wherever you're watching, you are surrounded by some people you love and people that encourage you, because that's what I got here. I love you guys. But let me talk to you about some other people we love, and that is our brothers and sisters. Anyone here have brothers and sisters? Yeah. And if you have brothers and sisters, or a brother or a sister, you've probably experienced sibling rivalry. Or in Bahasa, let me try this, persaingan saudara, right?
Yes.
Anyone? If you have a brother or sister, you experience this, like fighting over things or trying to compete to see who is the best or who can get the best thing or who can be the parent's favorite if there's favoritism in your family. You know, in my family, my younger brother is 2.5 years younger than me. And so we fought, you know, we've always been best friends, but we fought sometimes and had some rivalry and some competition. Usually it was over toys. And I don't know about you guys. My parents gave us the exact same toy every time. If it was an action figure, we both got the action figure. And any parent knows it was trying to stop any fighting. Oh, if you both have the same thing, you won't fight. But kids still find a way to fight about things. And being the older brother, if any time the toy, we both had one, if one was lost or one was broken or something bad happened, I'm like, hey, so sorry, little bro, that was yours. I still have mine, and it's still in perfect condition. I remember one story in particular. We both had gotten the Lando Calrissian action figure. If any of you guys know Star Wars, Lando Calrissian, we both had this action figure. This is in the 80s, exactly identical. And we went to a neighbor's house. The neighbor had a little baby, maybe 1 to 2 years old. And I remember seeing the most horrible thing you could ever see happen to Lando Calrissian. Their baby was walking around with one of them. And then the mom picked up the baby and took the baby to the baby's room for a diaper change. So I see Lando being carried away by this toddler. And so the next time I saw Lando Calrissian, he was laying in a baby crib next to a dirty diaper. And he had, I don't know a polite way to say it, Lando had poo on him. And so it's the worst thing. Darth Vader couldn't have done anything that bad to him. So you know what happened next? I went to my brother and I was like, Doug, I'm so sorry. Your Lando Calrissian has poo on it. Mine's still at home and it's in perfect condition. So we had things like that. Another time we had something sort of like sibling rivalry was when I started dating Pastor Carrie. My wife is the same age as my brother. They were classmates at school. And I remember when I started dating her, my brother told me, hey, man, you can't date our girls. Because I guess in that age group, they're like, hey, this is the class 7 girls, or this is the class 8. And he's like, you can't date our girls. And so my response was, I can, and I will. And I did. So I got the poo-less Lando Calrissian and the girl. So I won in that sibling rivalry. But when I think about that, I love to think about Jesus's family. And I've talked about this some when we did James, but you know, you think about sibling rivalry. Of course, Jesus was never jealous. Of course, Jesus never felt these things because he was sinless, right? He didn't have that type of issue with his brother. But imagine, what was it like for Jude? I mean, maybe, do you think he could have had some sibling rivalry? You know, it's not in scripture, but imagine younger Jude, and he's at swimming class, and he's learning how to swim. Imagine that first time he kicks off the pool wall, and he's swinging his arms and kicking his feet. Just picture little Jude, and he's like, Mommy, look, But on the deep end of the pool, there's his big brother Jesus walking on water. He's like, what? Oh, just forget it. Or imagine his parents, they're having a party and they're like, hey, Jude, could you pick up some drinks for the party? So he's planning, I'll go get the drinks, I'll take care of it. And then his big brother Jesus comes in and touches the aqua gallon and it turns into wine. I mean, how can you compete with that? It's really not fair. I was thinking of a last one. What if one evening Jude is responsible for dinner? And so he wants to surprise his parents. You know, whenever you get to prepare dinner for everyone, like, wow, this is going to be a great time. But maybe Jude was on a budget, so he's going to Seafood do Aribu. Just picture this. Here's the family of Jesus. There's Joseph and Mary. Jude is picking up dinner at Seafood do Aribu. He comes home with a bag of lele goreng. Maybe he has however many they needed, 4 fish in the bag. And he walks in with it so proud. I got dinner. I got the fried catfish right here. And then his big brother Jesus walks into the room, touches the bag, and suddenly there's enough fish for the whole community. They're like, wow, I bought 4, but look what Jesus did. And Chabenya tidak pernah ada habisnya. Right? The chabe is endless. Yes. And the whole community is fed. You could imagine maybe some sibling rivalry. What about you? What about you guys? You know, did any of you experience sibling rivalry and competition? And, you know I'm sort of joking about it, but sometimes it can be very serious, as we'll see in a few moments. It can really be an ugly thing. You know, I mean, maybe some of you at home, maybe even some of you here, you have some of that in your family where maybe you've had aunts or uncles that don't talk anymore. Or you have family members that can't get together and celebrate the holidays together. You know, either it's separate holiday celebrations or just one awkward one where everyone pretends to be family and pretends to love each other and they can't wait to get away from each other, you know? It can be very awkward. I know I've seen it even in my own family where we've had to have separate holiday celebrations. Oh, we'll celebrate Christmas here and then Christmas here and Christmas here. And it can just be an ugly thing. And sometimes that's caused by rivalries in the family, sometimes by sibling rivalry. We looked at the word apostasy last week, and all of this is going to tie in together in just a few moments. Apostasy, we saw, was the falling away from the truth or falling away from the faith. And apostates were people that taught wrong, people who had fallen away and were even teaching wrong. We could call them false teachers, but they have a different truth. They've fallen away from the truth that God has given and going their own way. And in Jude, verse 11, Jude mentions 3 apostates, 3 people who have fallen away. 3 people who are leading the wrong life, living the wrong truth. And one of them has a problem with sibling rivalry. One of these people. So here's the verse, Jude, verse 11. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So these are 3 apostates, or people who have fallen away from God. They've gone their own way. They fit the description that Jude gives us. The description last week that we saw in Scripture is that apostates rebel against God's authority. They rationalize immorality. They make excuses or justify the wrong things they do. And they reject God's messenger. And so here's 3 people that fit this. So Jude mentions the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And so that's going to be 3 of our next messages in this series. Today we're talking about the way of Cain. The way of Cain. And if you remember Cain, he is Adam and Eve's son. You remember the story in Genesis. Adam and Eve have these 2 sons, Cain and Abel. Cain is the older brother, and Abel is the younger brother. And Cain is a farmer. He works the land. Abel is a shepherd, so he raises flocks and animals. And then it comes a time, and this is in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2a through 12. There comes a time where they're bringing offerings to God. And so Cain, I have some offerings here. Imagine Cain comes proudly with his offering. delicious red apples or whatever fruit he was working. He comes, he's so proud about his offering. He's worked so hard. You know, he planted the seeds, he watered the seeds, he protected the plants. You know, you have to protect it from insects and all of that kind of thing. And then once it grew, he went out and the work of his hand, his labor, the fruits of his labor, you could say, I guess, right? He picked the fruits and he brings a fruit basket to God. And God doesn't accept his offering. God isn't pleased with his offering. Abel, on the other hand, brings from the firstborn of his flocks, he brings the proper portion of the meat from the animals that were sacrificed. There was a sacrifice. There was a life given. There was blood that was spilt, much like the blood that would have been spilt at some point for this bulgogi. We all understand Cain did not offer bulgogi to God, but this was the best option I had. So Abel brings the meat sacrifice, and God is pleased, and God accepts his offering. And it says that God looks at it with favor. God accepts Abel's offering with favor, but he does not approve of Cain's offering. So here we see Cain gets angry. You know, there's many ways we could handle these situations. If we see God in his authority, then whatever he says, we don't even need an answer. This is one of those stories that often we wonder, why did God reject Cain's offering? Why did God do this? We wonder that sometimes. And there are answers to it, but honestly, when we accept that God is our authority and God is greater than us, we really don't need the answers. I mean, I don't have to know. But I love that there is some explanation. Cain gets angry. God tries to warn him, do not act in your anger. Don't act out of this. He even tells him in verse 6, Genesis 4, verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I mean, God even tells him, if you do the right thing, won't it be accepted? But he goes on and says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. And he tells him, you must rule over it. He's warning Cain, sin is crouching at your door. You must rule over it. You must take some control. Don't act out of anger. But if you remember this story, what did Cain do? Did he listen to God?
No.
He ignored God's warning, and instead he goes to his brother Abel. He takes it out on his brother, this sibling rivalry, this jealousy. Why did God favor you? Why did God bless you? Why didn't I get the blessing? Why didn't God do that for me? Why didn't God receive my hard work? And he says, Abel, let's go out to the field. And his brother, I mean, it's his brother. And why would he be worried about his older brother? He goes out to the field with him, and Cain kills his brother. Right there in the field, he kills Abel. And we see in verse 9, God says to Cain, where is your brother? Where is your brother? Cain responds and says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So he hides this from God. He's not responding to God about what he did. I mean, Cain rejected God's authority. God made a decision. God ruled over the offerings that were given, and Cain disagreed with God. He didn't like God's decision, and he was jealous of his brother because God had shown him favor. So he kills him. Now, to put some more flesh on the story, because when we read that, normally we're left wondering, okay, why? You ever read things in the Bible and you're thinking like, I don't really get it fully. Well, Cain is mentioned a few more times. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So there was some difference there with the faith that Abel had, with Abel's lifestyle. Obviously, there was some faith in God. There was some recognizing who God is and that he is the authority. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it opens up the mystery a little bit more for us. This is how we know who the children of God are. and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain. Man, I would hate to be an example in the Bible. Don't be like Cain. I mean, already in English, we have this phrase called raising Cain. It means you're causing trouble. If you ever hear that in English, wow, they were out raising Cain. They're causing trouble. Like they're raising the spirit of Cain. And here we see in John saying, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. Why did he say belong to the evil one? Because his actions were evil. Not just the murder. He says he belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So Cain killed his own brother because his actions were evil. He wasn't living right. He wasn't living right and his brother was living right. Abel's living right. He's doing the right thing. He's honoring God. He even brings an offering. It's accepted. And Cain is not living right, but he still brings this offering and thinks it's going to make everything better. I mean, the hatred Cain had for his brother reminds you of the things that Jesus spoke of when he said, people will hate you because of me. Yeah. If you follow me, people are going to hate you. He's saying, if you live right, if you love God and hate sin, the world will hate you because the world hates what is good. And so here we see that's exactly how Cain responded to his brother Abel. So what is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is worship with wrong motives. Worship with wrong motives. It happens all the time. Cain brought this offering thinking, if I give this offering to God, he will accept me and everything I've done will go away. It was like a bribe. Hey, God, I know I haven't been living for you all week, but maybe if I hand you this plate of apples, will this make everything okay? Forget about Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, I brought you some apples. I mean, Cain was seeing it as a bribe. He was trying to come and bring this to bribe God. He was also bringing the works of his own hands. Look what I did. I planted this. I watered this. I did this work. He was bringing works. Here's my works, God. When you think about with Abel, the animal did the work. The animal died. The animal spilled its blood. It was a sacrifice, just like what we all have to depend on by faith in Jesus. It's not by our works. Cain was trying to please God with his works. Look what I did. Look what I brought. Our works don't save us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And just like when we see, why was Abel accepted? Why did Abel receive favor? Because of faith. He brought his offering in faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one can bring their fruit. Look what I've done. I'm bragging about this. Look, I brought more apples than you. God's going to like me more. It's not like that. It's not works. It's this gift of God that's given by faith. Warren Wiersbe, author, commentator, he explains that the way of Cain is a way of religion without faith. Religion without faith. Just religion. It's the way of righteousness by works. I'm righteous because of what I do. It's the way of pride. It's the way of self-righteousness. Cain wasn't living right, so he thought, I can give God something to get his favor back. Trying to buy God's favor or blessing. We can't buy God's blessing. We can't buy God's favor. God isn't for sale. You can't give enough, do enough, or know enough to save yourself or convince God to overlook your sin. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Cain thought, man, I can just give God something. He'll forget it. I can buy his favor. No matter how great your gift is, if your heart is wrong, it will mean nothing. It doesn't matter what we bring. Cain had fallen into wrong thinking, the same wrong thinking that many people fall into, seeing God as someone who can be bribed like some kind of corrupt political leader or dishonest businessman. He thought coming to God to offer something was winning God's favor. And he wanted to bring this offering, and he felt like once I give this, I can go back to living my life the way I was doing already. I can go back and living my faithless, evil, selfish life that I was doing. I'll just give this to God. He'll overlook it, and it's done. And when God rejected his offering, he was shocked. Man, now what? And his heart, number two, a heart poisoned by jealousy. Cain's heart was poisoned by jealousy. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy or jealousy rots the bones. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. So we're being reminded, don't take the way of Cain. Don't be poisoned with envy or jealousy. And James goes so far to say it is so far from being godly that it is demonic. It's demonic even to have this envy and jealousy. And not only demonic, wherever it is, evil will be there. Wherever jealousy is, every kind of evil, including murder, as we see here. The third thing that is a part of the way of Cain is a life full of hidden sin. Cain's sin was hidden. I mean, not just the murder. He was obviously, according to what John was saying, he was living a sinful life. But even with the murder, and God said, hey, what have you done? Where's your brother? I don't know. A life full of hidden sin is the way of Cain. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So that's the way of Cain. That's the negative side. That's what we're not supposed to do. That's the bad news. So how should we live as Christians? If we're not living the way of Cain, but we're living the way of a Christian, what is the way of a Christian? Number one, I will worship with right motives. I will worship with right motives. John chapter 4, it says that God is spirit and true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. So worshiping God in spirit means from the heart, a right motivation, not wrong motives. Oh, maybe if I worship God, maybe if I give this offering, maybe I'll get something or he'll overlook this or that. No, it's a right motivation, motivated by love and thankfulness. Worship in truth is recognizing who God is. I'm worshiping out of the truth that God, you are God. I respect you. I honor you. It's giving him the respect and honor he deserves. And that's where our worship flows from. Man, I'm so thankful. I love you so much. I know that you are God and I am not. And I just want to worship you. It's not looking for anything selfish like Cain was. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 even tells us that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So Romans 12 is telling us that living right is the best worship we can give. Like Abel, he was living right. There was faith. He lived in faith. God accepted the offering he brought. If we live right, that's our worship. If we make the right decisions and the right choices, honoring God with our lives is what Romans chapter 12 is telling us. Cain didn't do this, and his life was full of evil according to Scripture, and so his worship was wrong. It was empty. The second thing, the way of a Christian is, I will keep a thankful heart. Cain had a jealous heart, jealous of his brother. In this life, there's always going to be someone better than you. Maybe not you guys, or most of us. But you know what I mean? There's always going to be someone better. Shockingly for us standing here, there's always going to be someone better looking than you.
Yeah.
There it just is. There's going to be people that have more stuff or better stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe this already, then you're not on social media. I mean, the best thing to keep us humble is be on social media. You think you're doing good and you see someone's vacation or whatever it is. Man, that's better than what I have. Or, you know, their hair looks better than my hair. Whatever it is, you realize I'm not the best in every category. And when we see that, are we going to let it make us bitter and frustrated and poison our hearts with jealousy? Or will we keep a thankful heart and say, God, whatever I have is from you, and I'm going to thank you for it. Whatever you give me, I'm going to use for you anyway. And when he sees us use it for him, he normally gives us more to use. But it's not about us having it. It's about us being able to offer it back, living the life for him. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. A thankful heart. I will keep a thankful heart. And number 3 is, I will be honest about sin. I'll be honest. Being open and honest is the only way to get free. I mean, all of us here, we know that. It doesn't mean we always do it, but we know to be free from sin, we've got to be open and honest about it. We've got to talk to someone. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. And God is saying, come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. That is beautiful. God is saying, hey, I know you have sin in your life. I mean, he wasn't asking Cain, where's your brother, because he didn't know. I mean, you think Cain's like, oh my gosh, I fooled him. Maybe it's because I've watched so much CSI and, you know, like I got away with it. No, God knew what happened. But he's giving them the chance, like, hey, are you going to talk to me about it? God could have made it better with Cain, but Cain hid it from him. The best news here, why it's one of my favorite verses, is it lets us know as sinners that we don't have to hide from God. All of us are sinners. All of us have sin. We don't have to hide. We can come out of hiding. We can run to our Father, confess our sin to him, and then we can be made clean. Man, that is some of the best news. No matter how deep the stain, he can make us clean. Worshiping with wrong motives rejects God's authority. When we have jealousy, it makes not only us miserable, rotting our bones, but it leads us to evil. Hidden sin then separates us from God. And at that time when we need him the most, when we're in our sin, when we're lost in sin, we need God the most then. Cain needed God the most right then when he had fallen into the sin that was crouching at his door. When we need him the most, we need to run to him instead of running away from him. Often our response is to run away when we need to run toward him. And today God is saying to all of us, run to me. Run to me. Stop hiding. I already know the sin, but come talk to me about it. Let's talk about this. I can clean you. The last two verses I want to share today are about this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Man, that one's harder even sometimes than confessing to God. Let's stop for a moment. Everyone turn to your neighbor and confess your sins from the week. No, you don't have to do that. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And that's why life group is so important. And all of you guys are in life groups, you know it. The reason it's so important is because forgiveness and cleansing comes from confessing to God. And freedom and healing comes from confessing to one another. When we can have a group, finding a safe place with people we can open up to and say, hey, here's my area of struggle. Here's my area of sin. Someone to help us, someone to hold us accountable, that we don't have to hide and wear masks and be fake. But this safe place, all of you watching, life groups have started. If you're not in one, get in a life group. Find a safe group where you can take your mask off and say, hey, this is who I am. And you will find freedom and healing, just like James told us. Before we pray, I know I said that was the last scripture. I had one more before we pray. God put this on my heart yesterday. And speaking of the sibling rivalry and looking at the dysfunctional family of Adam and Eve, I wanted to share these verses with you because this is very important. When we are praying, we don't want our prayers hindered, right? We don't want, like Cain, to take our offering to God and it be rejected. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22 and 23 through 24, it says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you," and this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift." So Cain's offering may have simply not been received just because of his feelings toward his brother. I mean, there's the other reasons we talked about, but it could have just been that. You can murder someone without physically killing them, right? Probably some of us in this room, we've been murdered before. It's weird to say as I'm looking at everyone living and breathing. But every time you speak bad about someone, you're murdering them. Every time you gossip about them, you're murdering them. Every time you slander someone with your words, you're guilty of murder. I mean, all of these things, that's what Jesus is telling us. It's not just physical murder like Cain did. He's saying, hey, we should love one another. We should love one another. When we bring our offering and we remember, maybe someone has something against me, leave the offering and go and be reconciled. Make things right. Make things right. Let it go and forget it. Forgive people. You wonder why your prayers aren't answered, or you wonder why God keeps rejecting your gifts and your offering. Why am I not being blessed? Why don't I have God's favor? Let go of things. Reconcile with family. Don't let sibling rivalry destroy you like it did with Cain. Go to your brother, go to your sister, go to your aunt, to your uncle, your mother, your father. Go and make these things right. Let's pray together. Wherever you are, pray with me right now. Father, help us to forgive. Lord, after we've heard all of these scriptures, your word, Lord, I pray that they would go deep into our hearts today. Lord, that we would heed the warning that Jude gave, that we would not take the way of Cain. Lord, that we wouldn't see you as some kind of cheap, corrupt God that we can bribe with our giving and our works and our knowledge, Lord, but that we would recognize that our worship needs to be from a spirit and truth, from an honest place, from our hearts. Lord, that we would recognize who you are and we would be thankful for your gifts. Lord, that we wouldn't be jealous. Lord, that we wouldn't live this life constantly comparing ourselves to others and living in frustration and disappointment and letting it poison our hearts and our minds. But rather, we would be thankful for everything, recognizing that every gift is from you. And Lord, we could live in such peace. Lord, that we would have that peace that the scripture is talking about, rather than having our bones rotting inside of us. We would have this life. Lord, I pray that we would be honest about sin. Lord, there is nothing more dangerous in our life than hidden sin, because unless it is brought out, unless it is brought into the light, it can't be cast out. So Lord, I pray that we would take the advice that we read in Isaiah when you're saying to us, come to me and let's talk about it. Lord, I pray that everyone here right now and everyone that is at home watching, Lord, would be encouraged today that they don't have to hide from you anymore, that you're saying, hey, just come to me. Don't run away. Run to me. Let's talk about it. I will clean you. I will wash your sin away. I will forgive you. I will make you whole. And then I will give you my favor. I will give you my blessing. And it's not because of anything you've done. It's because you put your faith in my son, Jesus Christ. Wherever you are right now, if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have not placed your life in his hands as an offering, I encourage you to do that right now. Just saying, Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior who came to rescue me. Lord, help me to live in faith like Abel did, that every action, every deed, every word spoken in my life would be lived in faith so that I will be accepted by you and that I will walk in your favor. Lord, I pray your peace over everyone watching. I pray your blessings as they begin to live for you, as sin is brought out and confessed to you. Lord, as they find life groups and people they can trust to confess their sins to, so we can find healing and freedom so that we can live the lives that you created us to live. Lord, I pray that over everyone who is viewing today and everyone who is here in this room. And we pray this in the mighty, holy, and beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, I'm so glad you were here with us. Maybe in a moment I will share the offering of bulgogi. Those of you at home ready for lunch, you could order some bulgogi or something. And remember the offering of Abel that's given in faith. Let me encourage you again, get in life groups. And even more exciting, and not much is more exciting than that, but next week we will celebrate our 6th anniversary as a church. Wow, so that is going to be exciting. There's going to be stuff going on all week, so make sure you stay connected on social media, and we'll see you next Sunday or in a life group. God bless you. I love you.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.